Alna Simariva Bengi Bengecha Ubeng Moye Ubeng Rayecha Kianashim Achim Anachnu, because we're brothers. So Rashi explained yesterday, Anashim Achim, the simple explanation is we're related. Related, therefore obviously we shouldn't have a fight. We're close, we shouldn't have fights. And then Rashi brings another pshat from Medrash that what? That they looked alike, and therefore Avram was very concerned that is more of a representative to Avram because he looks like him, and therefore he didn't want to create any negatives there. But see, there's another pshat, a little more from a psychological perspective. This is very interesting. You have your expression love-hate relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? What does that mean?
It's like somebody who's like, in your relationship,
like, extreme.
No.
Love to
hate.
One loves,
one hates.
No. Wait, you love and hate the person at the same time, so you love some things about them and hate other things.
Right. Now, it's not despite that I love you, I also hate you. It's because I love you, I hate you. In other words, the phenomena is, because of the fact that we're so close, Mamela, I'm so angry at you if something doesn't go the way I think it should go. The love and the hate dafka revolve around each other. It's not pshat. I can have two extremes. I can love you, I can hate you. And they are extremes, but not pshat because they're random. But pshat is one begets the other. It's dafka somebody that you're closest with, that you love the most. And when you get into a fight with somebody you're close with, it's a much more of an intense fight. The feelings are much more intense. And somebody you barely know to get the fight with, it doesn't have that same intensity. The closer you are to someone, the more you're upset, the more that you're insulted, the more that it takes to heart, right? So the machlekes between two people that are closer has potential for far greater ramifications. You find two best friends get to fight, the fight is 10 times worse and 10 times as ugly than if they would be people that are practically strangers. So that's what Avram's saying. Ki anoshim achem anachdu. Because we're close, because we're brothers, therefore we have to be extra careful not to have a fight, because adrabah, the fight will get uglier because ki anoshim achem anachdu. Understand?
What's the philosophy behind that?
Not philosophy, it's psychology.
I meant that.
I just said that.
Why?
Because it is, when you're close to someone, the more you get upset when they hurt you. Think about it. The closer you are to someone, right? If someone who you don't know hurts you, you don't feel as bad as someone who... You too? Et tu, Brute?
Et tu, Brute.
Right? You know what I'm talking about? You know what et tu, Brute is?
No.
Of course not.
I know.
Oh, that's what Caesar said when Brutus died.
Oh, no. Correct. Really? No, actually, it's a Gemara. There's some blade. What, of course. What,
so,
all right.
No.
Okay, so somehow Merkin doesn't know it. I don't know why, but okay.
What is it?
This is told you when Caesar like saw Brutus.
Did you learn Shakespeare?
Him.
You read any Shakespeare yet?
What spell like
yeah.
Shakespeare.
Julius
Caesar.
Yeah, I don't
know. No, it's in Caesar.
We asked it out.
No, I did not read Julius Caesar.
Yeah, Jacob never fell into the stump and like burned himself.
All right. Anyway.
It was not ninth grade. No way.
Yeah, that was ninth grade. That was with Mrs. Wolfe.
Julius Caesar, ninth grade, of course, right?
Yeah.
Julius Caesar is in 9th grade, Macbeth is in 10th grade, and Romeo and Juliet is 11th grade.
We did Macbeth in 11th grade.
No,
we didn't.
That was Mr.
Pussy. Okay.
We did none of this.
All right.
I did all of those.
I did none of
those. Okay, gentlemen. Okay. All right. I'm sorry I brought it up. Okay. Guys. Guys, so therefore, ki anashim achim anachnu, dafka, because we're close, that's why the potential for machlekes gets much uglier. Okay, so pasuk test. Haloi kol ha'ores lefanecha. Behold, the whole land is in front of you. Ki parad na ma'olai. I want you to separate from me. Im hasmoil ve'emina. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Ma'yamin, if you choose the right, vasmila, I will go to the left. So again, here Abraham, again, even though really it's, he's being the mavater over here. So they can say, you get out of here, this is my land. He says, no, whatever, haloi kol la'oris v'necha. You get to choose first. If you choose the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. So, Avram over here, with the interest of making sure that even when they break up, there's no bitter machlekes, because you all know that the breakup could be more of a machlekes, right? right? So here he wants to do it in a way where he clearly says, look, I really care about you. It's smart if we separate, but the way he demonstrates that is he's been vatar. Listen, it's not nothing personal. It's just, it's not working out. You're as my shepherds. We got to break up. We got to make a move. But you get first crack at what you want. Avram does this, not because he's a generous person, which he certainly is, and he's Balchester, but he also understands that this is the best way to make sure you don't have Machloikis. The person feels he got the worst of the deal. You're splitting up and you're cheating me out of something. Oh, that's why you split me up, because you wanted to really. No. I have no ulterior motives. It's not because I want to get the money more for myself. That's not why we're splitting up at all. I'll give you first dibs. Alright? If you look at Rashi, Im ha-smol ve'emina. And Rashi says in Pasuk Tes, Im ha-smol ve'emina, b'chol asher teshev, wherever you go, lo esrachek mimcha, I won't go far from you, ve'emoid l'chol le'mogenu le'ozer, and I'll be for you a shield and a protector. V'sayim dabar utzuchloy. And then we know, Rashi says, Shenem av'yishma avram kinish bachev, Avram heard that his brother, his nephew, was kidnapped. He went after him. He went to help him, right? So Avram kept his promise. I don't know why Rashi has to tell us this part. I'm not sure why Rashi has to add this now. But what's Rashi telling us?
That he's not totally ditching him.
So the Sizachim says something, which I don't know if it's really... Look at the Sizachim. Look at the Sizachim and Ois Nun. Ois Nun, ever see Sizachim? The Koshal Rashi. Kill a man. What do you read for us?
The Koshal is Avram, Omar, Anoshim, Achim, the Ashal, Omar, Im, Hasmol, Vemino. The Mashma Sharatel,
Yisrachi. So, Chaman, what's bothering Rashi is what?
Avram says that we're like brothers.
Yeah.
And now we're going to, now where you go, I won't go. I mean, if you go right, I'll go left. If you go left, I'll go.
What's the problem? So he's saying, it seems to be mamish. First he says, we're brothers. And then he says, let's split up. Well, if we're brothers, why are you splitting up? Again, the Avram Omar Anashim Achim. The Asha Omar in Masmol Vemina, the Mashma Sharatzel Esrachei. He's saying, I want to go far from you. There must be some hate between them. I want to go far from you. So how do you say Anashim Achim and Achim? And they say, you go to right, I'm going to left, I'm going far away from you. The kasha also, he says, he says also, there's no sinner between Avram and Lot themselves. Personally, I'm not sure. L'chein pirish l'yisrachek. What does that mean? Huh? That's why Rashi explains what? What? But I'm not going to go far from you. Don't think I'm going far. Rashi has to add the words lo yisrachek mimcha. I'm not going to go far from you. It sounds like the two sentences can't go together. We're brothers. And then he says, you go to the right, I'm going way out to the left. But for brothers, why are you leaving me so far? So I said, no, it doesn't mean I'm going so far. If you go to the right, I'll be to your left. I'll be right there for lo yisrachek. I won't go so far. So Rashi saying lo yisrachek, because otherwise ki yeshem achem nach doesn't make good sense. That's what Sizachim words. All right, you got that? Okay. That's one pshat.
Right.
Well, one second. But there's another pshat. Morale says this, and this is how it seems to allude to the next idea. And he says a little differently. It's not that Rashi is bothered by the stira, kianashim acham nachnu, and then he says, you go to the right, you go to the left. Which is let's split, which sounds like we're going far away from each other. Rashi says like this. If you say paradema olai, which means let's separate, what does he have to say? If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you're saying paradema, that obviously means you go one direction, I go to the other direction. It's superfluous, correct? Mm-hmm. If you're saying let's split, obviously we split. You're to the right, I'm to the left. So what do you have to say? Paradema olai, split. Ima smile, that means if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Mimin vasmila. Duh, it's pretty obvious, right? And Maral says a little stronger, I think. He says, the words, if you go to the left, I'll go to your right. If you go to the right, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. I mean, that's obvious also. Even without the, even after he pardoned them a lie, and in this, in Masmal Vemina. Just the words themselves don't make much sense. If you go to the right, I'll be to your left. Shkoyach. Of course, if you go to the right, I'll be to your left. The words themselves are illogical. Forget about the fact that he pardoned them a lie. You're ready, he's saying, let's split. Why do you have to add, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left? Just the phrase alone, if you go to the right, I'll go to your left, is obvious. If you go to the right, then obviously I'm to your left. Right? So therefore Rashi learns, no. Im hasmoil, if you go to the left, the emina means I'll go to the right. I'll be just to the right of you. If you go to the right, I'll be just to the left of you. Means I'll be right next door to you. It's not saying, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. It's pretty obvious. Rashi is learning, no. If you go to the right, I'll be mamish to the left of you. I'll be right there to the left of you. So we're not splitting. I mean, we're not going far from each other. You got that? That's what Rashi's trying to say. Lo yisrachek imcha means, now I won't distance myself, but if you go to the right, I will be mamish to the left of you. I'll be right there by your side, on the left side of you. If you go to the left, I'll be right there on the right side of you. Okay? And that was a promise that Avram made to Lot, and Avram keeps that promise later on, even at great peril to his own life. We'll see soon, he engaged in battle, a number is far greater than him, because he made a promise and a commitment, he's going to honor that commitment. Okay.
Why did he promise it in the first place?
Because he feels an achrayus to his family. He's not going to live his family high and dry.
Lot deserve this?
We'll get there in a second. Lot travels with Avram all this way, and Avram realizes it's not a good idea, ruchnis-wise, but he's not going to leave him hanging and high and dry. He's not leaving, you know, to dry, out to dry. He's going to say, listen, don't take this to mean that I don't care about you. I don't take the fact that relative seriously. I do. But I think, Laman Hashalayim, we better not be together. All right? You with me? Okay. That's how you have to learn Rashi. Okay. Okay. Vayisa Lot es Eino. So Lot lifts up his eyes. Vayar es kol kikar yarden. And he sees the entire expanse of the yarden. Kikula mashke. That says Eretz Nachlei Mayim. Which means it was very lush. Imagine these really green, wet pastures. It gives off the sense of total gashmias. These green, lush pastures, right? The word lush almost has this excessiveness to it, right? Kikula mashka, lifnei shachais Hashem es daim, prior to the fact that Hashem destroyed stone, which look, I have to know why this has to be obviously written. Obviously, it's only looking lush before Hashem destroys it, right? Kigan Hashem, it was like a garden of God. Ki eretz Mitzrayim, like the land of Mitzrayim, see what that means? Bayachat Tzayar, all the way up to Tzayar. So what does that mean? Kigan Hashem, li lanois, it was like a garden of God when it comes to trees, a beautiful garden. Ki Eretz Yisrayim, lizroyim, and in terms of plantation, in terms of plantings and vegetables, it was that way too. So this was a very lush place. It was kuloi gashmis. All right, that's what Rashi's telling us. Kigan Hashem, li lanois, Azoi state in Rashi. One second. And Rashi brings the Raya later on because earlier in Bereishis, where it says Vayit Hashem Elokim Gan BeEden, then it says Yismach Hashem Elokim Min Adama Kol Eitz. So it's mashma that the Eitz is associated with the God. Okay. And later on, Dvarim, it says, Loi ke'eretz Yisrayimu, ashe yetzosa misham, ashe tizra ezerecha. So you see that Yisrayim is associated with Zerah. Okay. So Gan Hashem is associated with Ilanus, and Yisrayim is associated with Zerah. But the bottom line is, either way, is what Lot finds very appealing is the tremendous lush property that's in front of him. Okay. Okay, so Vayisa Lot es Eino. He lifted up his eyes, and some medrash implies it's also it's a looking of an eyes in a haughty in a kind of lo surach levavchem way. Don't follow your eyes. Vachreinechem. He was doing that. He was looking with his eyes for the lushest place. If you look at the Maisef Rashi, I don't know, do you have Maisef? You probably don't have it. I have it here. V'yivchaloit as kol kikar letayva yevakash nifrod. And now, this is an act of looking for taiva and lust. All right. So this is all about the lust that presented itself there. V'yivchaloit loit as kol kikar yardeng. And Lot chose this entire kikar for himself. And so Avram could not even share with this at all. Vayisa Lot mikedem, and Lot traveled from the east. Vayipardu ish malachim, and they separated from each other. Okay? So Lot chose kikar hayardei. He chose this terrible, this total lush place. Vayisa Lot mikedem, and Lot traveled from the east. So Rashi tells us a very important medrash. Mikedem, Zok Rashi. Nosa me'etzel Avram mimizrachoi v'holoch loin l'marovoi shel Avram. He left from the east of Avram and headed towards the west. Nimtzen ha'seyem mizrach ma'ariv, he's going from east to west. That's what it means, mikedem. He's leaving from the east to the west. U'medrash agadah. Medrash, obviously, why don't you know he's going from east to west? Why is that important? Medrash says, no. Yesiyai atzmai mikadmoinai shel oilam. There's a play on words over here. Vayisa mikedem means he traveled from kadmoinai shel oilam. Who is kadmoinai shel oilam, people? What is kadmoinai shel oilam? Maybe ask that for us. What does that mean? Hello? What do the words mean? Kedmoinai shel oilam. The one that preceded the world. Kedem means preceded. Kedmoinai shel oilam, the one that preceded the world. Who's that? Hashem. Duh, good. So Vayisa like me kedem is a reference to kedmoinai shel oilam. That Lot at this point is now severing ties with whom? Hashem. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why does the Medrash tell us this? Because it should have said, Vayisa Lot me Avram. That Lot left from Avram. Why me kedem? So Rashi learns based on the Medrash, is referring to Mikadmoinai shel oilam. That at this point, this is a seminal point in Lot's life. There's a crossroads, and he's now breaking away from Hashem.
So what's Pshat Nach Nosses Orchim?
He went out. Hold on.
Look at
this.
Once you have habits.
1 second. U'medrash agoda. Everyone look at Rashi.
I knew it was coming, like I wasn't asleep, so like...
You weren't asleep?
No.
Yeah. Umedrish Agoda. Umedrish Agoda.
Mayor.
Hisiyai atzmai mikadmoina shal oilam. Omar. Iefshi loy ba'avram v'loy ba'lakov. He said, I don't want Avram or his God. That's it. Done. Lot makes a conscious decision now. I'm breaking ties with Avram. Now, by the way, it's a little scary that Avram seems to have indirectly or directly caused Lot to get turned off the derech. In fact, we'll see how Kadosh Baruch Hu has tainis, putting quotation marks on Avram. He says, everybody in the world, you makarev, the gansavelt, you makarev, and your own nephew, you discard him. Right? We'll see, did Avram do the right thing, not the right thing? Make sure we have to go through a whole shtickle over here. We're going to, hopefully tomorrow I'll bring it in. There's handouts I'm going to give you on this shtickle, exactly.
He was Mekar of Lot.
Yeah, but now look what he did. He sent him off to Derech.
Right,
yes, he did.
Yeah, but the whole point of Avram doing this was to make sure that Lot wouldn't be angry at him. But now it seems that, by saying, like, I don't want Avram or his God, then it seems that, well, it is anger of Avram. Because you don't just cast something away unless there's a reason for it.
Interesting.
Well, okay, it's an interesting point that it doesn't really say over here it doesn't really say over here, you know, what was the determining factor. We just assumed it was because Avram seems to have separated from him. But it says, but it's interesting, he doesn't say EFSHI Ba'Avram. Doesn't say EFSHI.
Man.
Doesn't say EFSHI. I don't want with God. EFSHI Loi Ba'Avram V'Loi Be'Loi Kav. I want nothing to do with Avram or his God. What do you mean his God? Was it your God? I don't want to do, let me say, I want nothing to do with God anymore. Finished. What do you mean? EFSHI Loi Ba'Avram V'Loi Be'Loi Kav.
Right, so now he's saying it's not my God. That's what he's saying.
So let me say, not his God. His God implies that he's got a God. I don't have a God. Let me say, I don't have a God. Finished. I don't believe in God.
No, but
you don't find people say to you, I don't believe in your God. I don't believe in God. You say, I don't believe in your God. You say, I don't believe in God.
No.
I don't believe in your God. You don't say that.
No. Why?
Say
it's God. Why? Yeah, people say that.
But most people say, I don't believe in God. Not, I don't believe in your God.
That's true.
What do you, why not? That's, you listen to Frank.
Because, like, no. He's saying that he believes in these idols or whatever, but he doesn't believe in
well, first of all, we don't know he believes in any idols yet. Let's see. Maybe. Okay, hold on. So, first of all, understand it looks like it's taking two steps. Number one, I want nothing to do with Avram. Where you going?
Bathroom.
Down.
Shit.
Down.
Mayor.
You know, I'll tell him, Frank, you know what? I think you can go to the bathroom. You're going to fall asleep in the bathroom.
Your
head is going to hit the floor. You're going to crack your head open. It'll be much worse for you, so I'm trying to save your life.
Oh. Okay. That's the one. All
right? So listen, it's really two stages, gentlemen. It's two stages. Number one, I don't want Avram. And because I don't want Avram, now I don't want his God. There's a connection going on over here. I'm rejecting you, Avram. And because I'm rejecting you, I'm rejecting your God. So that could be understood on a few levels. Number one, it seems, now that I'm angry with you, Avram, I want nothing to do with you or your God. Meaning, if you can act in such a way to me, I want nothing to do with your God either. So in a sense, he is pointing a finger at Avram. Moshe. He's pointing a finger at Avram. If this is what you're doing, I want nothing to do with you or your God. Right? Yeah, how many times you've heard or could have heard Chalila, someone saying, if this is what Torah represents, I will know Torah, right? People say, right? If Chasram, a Ben Torah, somebody from Yeshiva, acts in an inappropriate way, and they go, well, if this is what Torah represents, I will nothing to do with this Torah. But you are the Torah, right? They now you personify the Torah, and if you act that way, I will nothing to do you or that Torah. So I will nothing to do with Avram or your God. Okay? And in a way, he's pointing a finger at Avram. It's because you, I want nothing to do with Avram, with God. You could say that, Shat.
But Avram was Mishalom with him.
Oh, so it's
I had a door.
It's not an easy Shat. Guys, it's not necessarily an easy Shat to say, because we would imagine that Avram was really gentle in the way they split up, and he probably conveyed in with tremendous love and care that he still cares about him. So we don't know necessarily that Lot really was angry at Avram at this point. You don't necessarily know that. Although you could say that, you get that from this Rashi. Or you could say, a little differently, that Lot's only relationship with God was because of Avram. Everything about Hashem, Lot never developed his own internal relationship with Hashem. It was through Avram. He saw Avram praying, I'm praying. And he mimicked Avram. And the only relationship he had Hashem, he never developed his own relationship.
Why?
Hold on a second.
Hey.
Because, hold on. Let's get the facts first. He never developed his own relationship. It was, he copied Avram, but he never felt it himself. It was never genuine. There are some people that their relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or to Judaism is one of an outsider. They're not really connected. The real avodah of Hashem is not feel like an outsider. You know, even this past week's parsha's Kisava, you have an interesting phenomenon. It says when you'd go to the kohen Hashabiyam Mahim, right? So it says, so the whole the vidui, when you bring the bikurim, is broken down into two parts. You say something. You give it to the Kayin, and then you say something more. what you say in the beginning is that I'm here because my parents inherit, my avos inherited the land of Eretz Yisrael, and I'm giving this to your God, and then he gives him the matana, and then he goes on and says that now, you know, I'm here and our Hashem has given us the land. So you notice it goes from your God when he first gives it, and then he says our Hashem. Interesting, this shift. What first of all, why the split? Why is the soliloquy that this person is going to say in front of the Kohen? Why is the Torah split it up between before you give to the Kohen and after you give to the Kohen? So it's interesting that you know, why do you give matanas to a Kohen? Well, the simple explanation is because you have to support them. They're not self-employed, right? They work for you. They work for Hashem. And therefore, we have machlokes to support them. So we give them matana to support them. That's true. The bikurim, that's true of trumas and maisvis, but that's not the pshat of the bikurim. Why do we give bikurim to the kohen? So we connect to the kohen. So we connect to the kohen. The kohen's a holy Jew, and if you connect to the kohen, you can be inspired by that as well. So the guy first comes and he says, "You're God." He's an outsider. He's a farmer from who knows where. What relationship he has with Hashem, I don't know. And yet when he comes to the Kohen, he sees the Kohen. So first he says, my relationship with Hashem is based on my avos. I come here because Hashem gave my avos Eretz Yisrael. But he still, it's not him. He connects to the Kohen. He feels much more part of the process. And now he's talking already our Hashem. So there are Yidden that have a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu, but they're still kind of outsiders. And there are those that really end up connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu themselves. Lot was this outsider. He had Avram to inspire him, but unlike the Kohen that inspired this farmer and therefore he wants to have a chelik in Torah, Lot never took the extra step. It was mimicking Avraham. It was, you know, if Avram does this, I'm a good guy, I'll copy Avram, my uncle's a great guy. But he never, never became a partner in this relationship. And so now when Avram's gone, okay, no Avram, no God either. Because the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was through Avraham.
So is that a taino now?
Well, we'll see. He says, by the way, he says, E-F-she, it's a very strong language. E-F-she, I want nothing to do with Avraham, but like her. So you see two things. Number one is that his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to begin with was quite tenuous, if he's able to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu so quick like this. And number two, you see that how important it is when you have a relationship with someone and they're connected to Yiddishkeit because of you, how important it is to maintain their relationship. Because you don't know how that relationship will maintain itself without you. That's what he says. Again, it's hard to understand that Lot goes from this person that is part of Avram's entourage. He's mais and nefesh to leave with Lech Lecha too. Goes down to Mitzrayim, and now he sees Dom, boom, it's all over. He gives it up in 1 second. So it would be hard to understand if they had a real relationship to begin with. But if really Yiddishkeit was never part of him, and now he sees all the dollar signs and all this nus in Sodom, so he discards his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it was never real to begin with. If someone's able to give up Yiddishkeit like that for Taiva, that means that Taiva always dominated his life. The Yiddishkeit was a veneer at best, and it's easy to remove a veneer. That's the difference. If somebody has a hard time giving up something, that's because that thing is really part of him. If somebody doesn't have a hard time giving something up, that's an indicator it was never really part of him. You know what's going on? If Lot has an easy time just shedding Yiddishkeit like this, that means it was never part of him. Something that's really, really part of you, hard to give up. Esav gives up the Bechira, like this, was never really part of him. So when something's really much part of who you are, it's not easy to shed. When something is not part of you, then it is, and obviously this is an indicator. So it's not that Avraham caused Lot not to have a relationship with Hashem. He never really had it. It was a veneer at best. He was hanging on by a bare thread by connecting to Avraham. But now it's all gone. It's all gone because he's never there with us. And so, you know, you can see, you know, if a guy, you know, is totally from guy, and he meets a beautiful non-Jewish woman, and boom, a woman, he gives it all up. That means his Yiddish guy was never really real. Now, could a person have a taiva over the course of time and months and years give up his Yiddish guy because of a taiva? Absolutely. But if he sees one beautiful woman and 2 months later it's all gone, he gives it all up. That means he never really had it. That means he never really had it. So Lo never really had it. But we can't say he never had it at all. He was in the sphere of influence of Avraham for many, many years. He did practice Judaism, quote unquote, for a while. So he is considered on some level to be a Shana Upirish. Shana Upirish means there are different kinds of Jews. There are Jews that never really learned, and the Jews that learned and rejected. And those are much harder to get back on the derech, because once they made a proactive decision to reject, so then their walls are up. They want no part of Yishkai, and their guard's up, and it's very hard to penetrate.
So how come when Lo was saved?
Well, hold on one second. A Shana Upirish is much, much more difficult to bring back to Yiddishkeit than someone who never had anything against Yiddishkeit. But if somebody has a negative against Yiddishkeit, it's much worse. You don't know that. Somebody harbors a negative, it's much harder. On some level here, we do consider Lo a Shana Upirish, even though it would seem his hold on Yiddishkeit to begin with was tenuous at best. Yes, what's your question?
Saying, even when he got saved, did he do tshuva?
No, we don't find him doing tshuva.
No?
Why? He goes back, doesn't he?
Don't find him. Let's see. We're going to discuss who Lot is. We have to really develop a profile of this Lot character, because he's quite an enigma. As you pointed out, he gives up Yiddishkeit in a second. On the other hand, he sacrifices life for these two people to come to his home. Right?
Yeah.
So he is quite an enigma. He was raised in Avraham's household for the longest time. It's hard to imagine that he didn't develop something. In fact, he clearly did, because Avraham was so concerned that when people saw Lo, they would think there was Avraham. And it can't just be because of physical appearance. It must be, at least in some mannerisms, he was Avraham too. So Lo clearly picked up from Avraham, and yet he gave it all away. So he's quite an enigma. Yes?
Well, we know that Sodom got destroyed because they were such horrible people, but couldn't we just say, like, that the Titus there were just so strong that they convinced him to, like, give up his Yiddishkeit?
The what? But he hasn't got there yet. He hasn't got there yet.
I mean, he looked at it.
Okay, looked at it. It's not enough to say, oh, he got all Yiddishkeit so quickly.
Rabbi, how old was he?
I do not know. It might be his face. I do not know. At least I can think about it and see if I can see any midrashim talking about it. But by the word Lot comes from the word Layit. You know what Layit means? It's Aramaic. Huh?
Yiddish Layit.
No. Layit means cursed. Lot, the very name Lot, is associated with curse. What does that mean? Ironically, Avraham is associated with bracha, v'ayi bracha. Right? But Lot is associated with curse, Layit. That's what the word light means. Why? Because what's a curse? Let's go back a little bit. We said Lot was really a veneer at best. Right? A veneer is not the real thing. Something that's real can produce itself. If I take a picture of a flower, it's not going to produce itself. Right? It's a veneer. Right? Lot's a veneer of Yiddishkeit. And therefore, he really can't produce himself. He can't produce more. There's no continuity. We'll see what with his daughters, etc. But there's no real continuity. Because he doesn't have... When something's real, that means you have it inside of you. Right? Where's the seed? The seed is inside the peri. He has no seed to be molded to have continuity. There's nothing inside. So Lot is a curse. Because curse means that. Curse means that everything's a veneer. If you take a look, the first time you see cursing in the Torah is when Hashem curses the ground and says the ground will no longer produce. And he curses Chava, and she won't be able to produce a child easily. And he curses the snake that will only produce once every 7 years. So klal is associated with the lack of continuity. Can't produce, that's what it klal. You know when you're cursed, when you don't feel that what you're doing has any purpose and continuity? That's a curse. A blessing is just the opposite. Bracha comes from the word brecha. Brecha means an overflowing pool. You're tasting blessing when you feel what you're doing has purpose, has continuity, and will stay on forever. That's bracha. And you see that in your children, and continuity in your children, that's bracha. Because you're tapped into a source. When you're tapped into a source, like if you have this cup, right? If I don't pour coffee out of the cup, well, I could pour coffee as long as there's only coffee in the cup. Once the coffee's gone, it's empty, right? If this cup will be attached to a big machine, it'll keep going, right? Klala is when you're not connected to anything. So therefore, there's nothing that can allows it to perpetuate itself. Lot is light. Lot's a curse because he's a veneer at best. He pretends on the outside to act like the Avrams of the world. But because it's not inside, he's really cursed. Meaning, there's no continuity there. There's nothing inside himself. In fact, if I can be so bold to say this now, but we haven't been yet, Lot, we know, later on lives with his two daughters. Right? Well, let me say this in a very strange way. That's not the normal way of having children, obviously. He's almost literally cloning himself, not producing himself. He can't produce himself because there's nothing inside of him. He has nothing to give over. He clones himself. That's a facade. Clones on the outside. So taking his daughters is like cloning himself. He's not really producing himself because he doesn't have anything on the inside of himself. So that's the pshat, and that's why Lot's able to say Efshi Ba'avra V'Leilakav, because he's a liet. There's nothing really inside of him at all. All right. So that's the pasuk. Vayichal Lot Vayislam Yikedem Vayipardu Ishmael Lachiv. The next pasuk begins Avram Yashav Beretz Kanan. Avram lived in Eretz Kanan. I want to point out to you, actually, the Baal HaTurim points out to you. If you take a look, look at the Baal HaTurim, Vayipardu Ishmael Achiv, Avram. What does the Baal HaTurim say? What? What does Samach Tav stand for? Saif Tevas Shalom. The words of Vayipardu Ish, the word, start with the word Ish. Ish Me'al Achiv Avram. The last letter of each word, Shin Lamed Vav Mem, spells Shalom. Great. What does that do with peace? To be continued tomorrow, see what this does with peace. They're splitting up.